Welcome to In The Stiffs podcast with me, Sam Easton. I'm joined by my friends and former Shrewsbury teammates, Gavin Cowan and Dave Edwards.
Well, Ken Ratcliffe, like you said as well, I had him for 3 years. I mean,
Welsh legend.
Rats. Welsh legend. Brilliant in lots of ways. I think he was brilliant in lots of ways, but I think I would say I was a nightmare for him. I remember one time.
Did he buy you?
Pardon?
Did he buy you or did he sign you first?
Me, yeah, he bought me 50 grand. Bargain. And brilliant, I mean, but obviously I come down, didn't I? Like, by myself.
Right.
Keys to the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
One time we played played Macclesfield. I was sub and we're getting beat 1-0 and I've come on at half time and I've like ripped it up, like brilliant, just ran right. I was playing like, I think I played right wing, just absolutely annihilated this left back, just bullied him. Just like made a goal, just caused havoc. So walked in at the end of the game. I think we drew or we won in the end. And I've just been, the fans all singing my name. I was like, basically, I was like, lads, you're all welcome. I walked in, like, I think I've even, I don't know whether I did this, I've just remembered my head. And even the gaffer stood there and I've just walked in. I think I even winked at the gaffer on the way. And the gaffer, I remember the gaffer just gone, Kevin Ratcliffe's just gone, thanks for that now then, Sam. Now you can go. I went, what do you mean I can go? That's it, on the transfer list. I was like, what are you on about? Everyone, this is in front of all the lads. And yeah. I was like,
well, straight after the game.
What are you on about? Straight after the game, in the dressing room, in town the other night. Bearing in mind, I was actually at one time, I was banned from town by the club. So I was banned from going into town. So I was banned from the town at the moment. And I'd gone into town with one of my mates because he just had a bit of bad news. And anyway, he got in a fight. So obviously I was in the vicinity, and then I had to escort the police back to the station to help them with their inquiries.
Yeah.
And then obviously, bear in mind, I'm banned from town at this point, yeah. So obviously this is all, it should be, it all got back to Kevin Ratcliffe. Anyway, it was all fine. Obviously, he'd not said a word of it to me. So this was on the, I can't remember, Tuesday or Wednesday. He said nothing to me. I trained Thursday, trained Friday. Wasn't picked Saturday, but I'd just been injured, I think, for a couple of weeks.
So at this point, you think you got away
unusual.
With it?
Yeah, so I was just thinking,
nothing
like,
unusual.
I was like, oh, like everything's fine, isn't it? Sub, but I thought it was a bit harsh being sub. I should have probably played, but basically won them the game.
Yeah.
Like, so the problem, then obviously the gaffer's just been building up to say this. Then on Monday morning, I was in the Shropshire Star, Sam Easton on the transfer list, and I was like, oh. No. See, if I'm being honest with you, he didn't tell me straight after the game, yeah, to be honest. Yeah. But yeah, that was, but I did, but saying all that, and I mean, we had loads and loads of run-ins. But he was brilliant. And I think he found it hard at Shrewsbury when things started to go wrong. So I think he's too good, used to winning.
Yeah.
So wasn't, I think it's difficult to know. We won 5-a-sides and head tennis and small-sided games. Suddenly you were losing games, like letting in goals from set pieces and stuff. I just don't think... Peter Reid, like, I can't remember ever doing set pieces and stuff like that. I think Kevin Ratcliffe, probably from that Everton team, they didn't know Howard Kendall's teams where they just played.
Where did he come from? Chester? Kevin Ratcliffe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played for Chester
his first job.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah. He did really well at Chester. We got in the playoffs and stuff at Chester.
You've gone on loan to Chester.
Yeah, I got on loan to Chester a couple of times and it did really well. And we got in the playoffs and he did really well there. And we had some success at Shrewsbury, but that season just fell apart, didn't it? Yeah. All the games got called off, didn't it? So we had like 9 games in hand or something like that, and like 3 points behind, but then we lost 7 in a row. Yeah. So it was just
we'll be all right.
It just we'll be all right. We've got 9 games in hand. We've got eight games in hand. we've got 4 games in hand. Oh no, we need to win today, lads.
We will be all right, won't we?
Yeah.
And we didn't even take it to the last game then, did they?
He was brilliant in lots of ways, Kevin Ratcliffe. But I think, I think it's really hard if you're used to winning to suddenly handle that. Then after that, Jimmy Quinn. Yes, Jimmy Quinn was funny. He was brilliant. He was talking about him a lot. He used to play. He played himself. He's 44, himself. I remember getting beat to Dagenham at half-time. And he was going, right, I'm bringing myself on. 44, I am. And if he scored, he used to put his four and four, like his fingers up. I don't know why I'm doing that. I'm doing a podcast with my fingers. But for 44 to all the fans, coming on, we're getting beat off Dagenham. I'm coming on, hang it up. Yeah. Sam, when you get it, hang it up. Streety, when you get it, hang it up. He didn't win there the second half. Lost 4-0 or something.
Anyone say anything?
Not really. We used to have this thing where you couldn't celebrate with him.
Yeah.
You couldn't celebrate with a gaffer. Yeah. So it was dead awkward. Yeah, but it's like, we go, were you celebrating with a gaffer when he scored? Because he scored a few goals for us. I remember Greg Rioch always did. I remember Greg Rioch used to run 70 yards from left back and jump on the gaffer's back, didn't he?
Yeah.
But the rest of the lads were going, you can't celebrate. That. So I was like 5 yards away from him, just set him up and he tapped it in. And I just have to go, oh no. And like, I just like, I knew all the lads were were looking, and we used to watch the videos. And if you got caught celebrating with a gaffer, you got hammered for it.
I remember like, my
well done, gaffer, just run off in the other direction. Everybody, what are you doing?
My full debut, so my first start was under Jimmy Quinn, and he was playing, and it was in like an FA Trophy match, something. And the first goal, I've crossed it. You scored a header, and he's nearest to you. And
you're who scored a header? Sam scored a header. Right.
Yeah. Scored a header coming in from left wing. Scored a header.
Great goal.
And then Jimmy Quinn's right
YouTube,
next to
go YouTuber.
Goes in to celebrate with you, and your arms are just straight.
Did you celebrate with him? He's like that long for a high five, and you're like the fans must have thought, they don't like the manager.
We do like
the manager. Yeah. It's just we've got this daft thing that we can't celebrate with him.
Stood
what
rigid.
About, have you told the story where about Cookie trying to bring him off the once?
Oh my goodness me! I think we were away at like Margate or somewhere, weren't we? We were beating Margate like 2 or 3 nil. And I'd played really well. But I'd been taken off like the last 3 games in a row, like subbed like 82, 85, like 77.
Yeah.
The lads are giving me, hey, can you get through 90 minutes, Sam? You know, the lads are on my case going, you just can't get through 90 minutes. So this is Dave Cook for banter. We're 3-0 up, like cruising. It's like 90th minute. Like I've played really well, had a good game. Suddenly, substitution. Board's gone up, number 11. So Dave Cook's there, like, all the lads are laughing. Dave Cook's gone there. Off you come, Sam. Off you come. And, like, there's Tolly in the middle and Rossi and Luna. He just can't get through 90 minutes. Cookie's doing it for banter to take me off. I'm like, fine, fit as a fiddle, running everywhere. I'm like, and I've gone, nah, I'm not coming off. Sam, Cookie's even giving it. Sam, you know you can't get through 90 minutes. You need to come off now. Substitution, you can't get through the full game, Sam. You can't get it. Greg Riott was coming on a sub. Come on, Sam, you know you don't do the 90. I'm always on for you, last 15. So I was a few refs going, number 11. I was like, no, I'm not going. No, ref, I'm not coming off. Well, now you like get off the pitch. No, that's like what you're doing. I was like, no, Margate players, you need to go off. No, not coming off in the end.
The whole stadium's
what can
against I do?
You. Yeah. So in the end, I'm like, right, so I walked off, still
fuming.
Like, obviously, the lads are in bits. So they want to get in the dressing room, like Sam's losing his head. And I was like, joke, that is. It's a joke. And Cookie's just like, he didn't even come in the main bit. He was hiding around the corner, just like laughing. I'm just going to give Sam 5 minutes to calm down here before he kills someone. Yeah. And all the lads go, he can't get through it. And then Cookie's just, and he come and sat with me afterwards. I'd calmed down. And he sat and like, he put his arm around me. And I went, I went, good banter that, Cookie, in fairness. But he just said, I knew you'd like it in the end, Sam. Just take a while for you to calm down.
Oh, brilliant. He did it with Jimmy Quinn the once, though, as well. So he was stood on the side. Jimmy Quinn's just scored, buzzing. And then Cookie turned around to us. I'm going to bring the gaffer off in. Got on his face. Must the gaffer's number off. Yeah. Gaffer
you just can't imagine raging, that happening now, can you?
That was raging. But that was like, amazing. What Cookie, like, he's so funny. Yeah. But like, I mean, it was always when we were winning comfortably or something like that. Yeah.
Imagine the gaffer's number's gone up. Like you said, he has to come off. I mean, he's looking at Cookie with the deadest
gaffer,
stare ever.
Come on, off you come, gaffer. Like, we wouldn't see anything.
We had Glenn Pennyfather do something similar with a lad called Kevin Dobinson, and he's like, Dobbo hadn't been in getting in or whatever, and he's again nothing against Dobbo, he just thought he'd have a bit of banter and we were winning like 4-0, and he's like, Dobbo's down at the corner flag getting warmed up, and he's called him over. Dobbo, come over. He's just gone, mate, I think I left my tracksuit top down by the corner flag there, can you grab it for me? And Dobbo's like stood there going, are you taking the, you know what I mean? He's like, yeah, go and grab my trackies. And then obviously he's walked out, he's like winking at the lads and that. We're all half laughing, half going, oh, that's a bit hard.
You can do all that though when things are going well.
Yeah, we were like, smashing it.
Up. And that's when it's good, that's when it is good banter. And like, people would look at that and go, well, is that appropriate? But you're winning, aren't you? It's fun. And obviously I look back on that and there's loads of things like that. And you just like laugh about it. We used to have all of them sort of jokes, but Gary Peters was the one. I remember ringing one of the lads and saying, we've got the Chester Races. I said, oh, give me Tino's number. I want to invite Darren Tinson to Chester Races and stuff like, because he hadn't been out with us yet. I'll give him a call. So I said, I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Luke or Ryan or someone. I said, send us Tino's number. So obviously, like, straight away they're on it. Sent me Gary Peters' number, the gaffer. Oh. I'm like, hello, big man, roll out Chester Races on Saturday. You coming? We want you there, big fella. Right, this is the itinerary. And he's like, hello? And I'm like, Tino, it's Sam. You all right? We come to Chester Races. All the lads are out. A little initiation for you. Get yourself out. And Gary Peters is like, hello, Sam. It's the gaffer here. I was like, I just panicked and just red buttoned it. Put the phone down. Yeah. Then the next day we're training. And we're all having a meeting beforehand, or the next day, or whenever it was, 2 days later. And Gary Peters going, I'd just like to say thank you very much for Sam giving me a call, inviting me to Chester races with him. I thought that was really kind. And the lads are going, what? Hold on. But we used to do that all the time. I remember one time Luke put an advert in the Shropshire Star for brand new white transit van, only £1,500, and give my number. All day long. He's got these people going, hey, mate, you still got that white transit? And I'd be like, no, sorry, it's the wrong number. That. They'd be like, 2 minutes sitting there, you still got the transit? And I'd be like, no, but like, starting to get a bit suspicious now. Yeah. And then after about 15 people later, no, I have not got a transit.
The old classics, though, like, used to love doing that.
He used to get skips delivered. The people's houses and things like that.
That was all before. That was what we used to do to entertain ourselves before social media, wasn't it?
Luke's best one was he rang up and he ordered a clown to go to one of the lads' house. So they ordered a clown for like 200 quid. So a clown has actually gone there, like thinking it's doing a party. And the clown's lost his head, ringing Luke and all. This is my livelihood. This is making a joke of it. Yeah. Obviously, the lad won't pay me £200 for turning up. So you need to do it.
Oh, I love all that. They were
all great stories.
I had Darren Moss ring me up the once. Didn't know his in private number. Hiya, this is so and so from 442 magazine. Oh,
that is him all over. Yeah. He loves all.
You're
that,
an up and coming player. Just wonder if you do a quick fire question Q&A with you. I was like, yeah, no worries. Started off in, what team do you support? Who's your favourite player? What foot are you? What's the best goal you've seen? Then it just started getting a little bit more different.
Like, what you putting your hair, what product you put in your hair? Start getting a bit, you're thinking up on a minute. Yeah.
And then he said, so do you have a girlfriend? I was like, yes. Carried on a few more different questions. What's your girlfriend's bra size?
It was hard. We used to do it. The thing is, you do it when you're out of contract, which is horrible. Really, I've been out of contract a couple of times, and it'd be like, hello, Sam, it's such from Carlisle United before you move back to Newcastle. And you're going, oh, yeah, I'd be really interested. And they go, that's if anybody's going to ring you and put the phone down. You'd be like, that's not funny, lads. I'm hanging on here for a job, and you're pretending that your different manager's ringing me up.
They used to be the best ones on the coach on the way back from a game, when it? Like, let's phone him. We phoned Steve Burr once. Steve Burr, I think he was a Kidderminster manager at the time. We phoned him, and they got me to do that. Do you remember that? Terry Tibbs.
Terry Tibbs.
Just did it like, talk to me. Like, so he used to find it. Hello, Steve, how you doing? All right? Yeah, it's Terry. Terry, the agent, Terry Tibbs. And he's going, sorry, Terry. Yeah, no, I'm not familiar with you. Oh, okay, Gavin Cowan, talk to me. Player. All the lads are rolling around trying not to laugh. And he's like going, so where did you say you were from again, Terry? And yeah, from the agency, you know.
But you see, like, now we see, like, the lads will still, like, lots of England lads, when they get picked, like, they'll get a phone call, won't they? Say, oh, it's Gareth Southgate. And they'll be going, yeah, good one. And, you know, good one. All right, it is. Yeah, well done, mate. And,
like, who did that? Someone said that recently.
A few of them have said it. I can't think of it. Things like that. I don't know whether they go through agents now or whatever, but you're going to be, aren't you? It's going to be definitely. A bit. Sorry, back to me managers. And Brian Little, Nigel Clough, John Gorman, who was brilliant, amazing, like, one of the best man managers. Absolute diamond John of Gorman. A bloke. Loved him. Telling us all the stories when, because he was with England, with Glenn Hoddle at England.
Yeah, of course he was, yeah.
So he's like, oh, we used to do this in England with Becks and Scholes. I'm like, oh, this will go well here at Northampton then, Gaffer, won't it? he's doing it with me and Chris Doig and people. I mean, this isn't going to go as well, Gaffer. Stuart Gray. And then Dean Saunders, like, I had, which obviously you had as well.
He was intense
funny
for man. You, when he, Dean?
Funniest guy ever, isn't he, Dino?
But he'd get there, like, whatever time you got there, he'd be there. Like, he'd be on the, well, I don't know what it's called, he'd cut the grass with. What?
Sit on mower.
Yeah, sit on mower, thanks. He'd be on a sit on mower, and he'd be like, cutting the grass as well. He'd be like, look at the grass. And he'd be so intense. And then we'd get off on, it's only 12 o'clock on a Saturday, right, lads? 2 o'clock tomorrow, Sunday, you're training. And he just loved it. It was just like his life, and he was so passionate. He's brilliant, but he used to tell some funny stories as well. And he used to get, we had like this pull-up bar at Wrexham, so we're always on the pull-up bar, me and this Tom Kearney, we're always on the pull-up, so you can do the most pull-ups all the time. And he'd be like, what are you two doing, lads? Stop wasting your time. Get out there with a ball. Like, he's just obsessed with ball and passing it in. Get out there. And it used to annoy me because I'd play left wing, and all you'd want to do, you'd be wanting to just get the ball into the centre forward's feet. He was obsessed because he loved centre. He was a centre forward, wasn't he? Get the ball in the centre forward's feet as quick as you can. And I was like, oh, I'm one-on-one with a right back here. Get the ball in the centre forward's feet. Let the forwards play. And I'd always be going, Nah, I'm just going to go. I'm going down the line. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Tell the centre forward, good luck. I'll see him in the box, but I'm going down the line, yeah.
Who made me like, I was with a lad called Lee Fowler, and I, Fowler, brilliant lad, like hilarious. And we were travelling in together. I think we went Nuneaton at the time, and Fowles was like, you know, he'd sort of come to the end. He was overweight. He doesn't take a lot for Fowles to put on a bit of weight and all that. So obviously he's easy jibes with him. He's like, oh, I've got Dean Saunders calling me in a minute. And I was like, oh, right, what's that all about then? Because Fowles, when he played for real, he was ridiculous. Like one of the best footballers, as in footballer, that I probably played with. And I played against him when he was at Forest Green and just, yeah, no one could touch him. And he was sort of at Nuneaton trying to recapture that form, and he was saying that Dean Saunders was going to phone him, and he went, I'll put him on loudspeaker. So he phoned up and he was like, all right, gaffer. He's like, all right, fatty. Like that, straight away. He went, and he was going,
brilliant.
He was going, so how fat are you? How fat are you? Like this. And Fowles is going, well, I'm all right, gaffer, to be fair. He's going, seriously, how fat are you? I want to know how fat you are right now. And he wouldn't let it go. He's like, he's going, have you shaved your head yet? Have you shaved your head yet? So I was thinking, where's this going? He's like, because he'd just gone in at Crawley. Dean Saunders. So he'd just gone in there and he was like, I need to see how fat you are. You need to send me a picture. He's saying, I need you to send me a picture naked, front and back, and all this. Just having this banter with him. And he was like, right, I'm going to come in for you. If you're not as, you go, like, out of 10, how fat are you? And all that. He went, right, well, if you're only a 4 or whatever, I'm going to come in for you. I'm going to bring you down to Crawley. This is what's going to happen. And Fowles is going, well, to be honest, Gaffer, I've got sort of other things going on. I've gone part time and I'm doing this. He's going, yeah, forget about all that. You're going to come down here with me and this is what's going to happen. Anyway, I think there was like an embargo or something that couldn't happen, but he managed to get it over the line. And even Fowles was in the car going, what does he want with me? Like, I'm done. Do you know what I mean? Like, in my day, he'd have been the first one on the team sheet, you know, but he was like, I'm done. What does he want with me? Yeah. And he was like, oh, do you know what? I'm going to give it one last hurrah. Like, so he's gone there. And Fowles texted me something before the game, because he'd got him in for 2 weeks, put him on all of these shakes. And Fowles, like, he is the typical lad of what we've all explained. Down the pub, few beers, to his detriment, would have played.
Yeah.
And then...
he has a guy with him, though, Dino, a guy called Mal Purch, who's unbelievable. He's a bit like, he's like a personal trainer, fitness coach.
This must have been the guy then.
We had him at Wrexham.
Ex-military, all that sort of stuff. Great guy, but it must be him. Like, well, the first thing I met Dino when he came at Wolves, I had my hamstring had gone. He's like, don't worry, Mal, I'll sort that for you. And that was it.
Well, he went in, and for 2 weeks, he was stuck in a hotel, away from his family, away from his kids, Fowles, phoning me every day going, what is going on here? He said, all I've done, I've not even touched the ball today. He said, I'm drinking these shakes. He said, I'm going to sneak out and have a Big Mac in a minute, because that's Fowles all over. Anyway, he stuck with it for 2 weeks. And he texted me before this game saying, if you can find the other half of me, or something stupid like that, if you can find the other half of me, let me know and drive it to the ground and all that, and having a bit of a giggle. And then wasn't thinking anything of it. You know when you can do, like, is it the Football League show? Do you remember the Football League show? They used to play that all the time. And I watched it after. So Fowles has come on. So they're losing 1-0 at home. Fowles has come on, set a goal up. 1-1. I've not seen the result or anything. Flipping fair play, pal. Fowles gone on and set up a goal. Next thing you know, their lad headers it out. Fowles is on the edge of the box, chests it. Stuart McCall against Liverpool in the 89 Cup final. Volleys it, bottom corner. Just walks off doing that. And then Dean Saunders is on the interview after going, yeah, well, the lad's like, you know, he's his own worst enemy, but he's Premier League quality. He's Premier League. Says Premier League about 4 times. Next thing, Fowles sent me a video of Dean Saunders on repeat, Premier League, Premier League, Premier League. And I'm going, where has that come from? Like, and fair play for Dean Saunders to go, right, I know what this lad's about. I need him for this period of time. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get his quality. I'm going to turn him round. And Fowles trusted him. So obviously to trust him was a big thing. But
he was quite inspirational, Dean Saunders, in a lot of ways. Like, he wanted young players to play, and he was brilliant with them. And he had them coach. You know, like, he'd get your midfield, he'd get the forwards not to look at the fullbacks, and when they threw it to the fullbacks, he'd sprint. He'd go, Ian Rush did this. Tackle fullbacks 17 times a day. If it's good enough for Ian Rush, good enough for you lot, innit? We'd be going,
too,
right?
Of course it is,
He tells the best story, Dean Saunders. I think he was playing for Bradford at the time. The manager at Bradford's pulled him in and said, oh, we've had a phone call from, like, Stenhouse Muir for you to go there. He's always gone, Stenhouse Muir, go there. What, as chairman? and just walk back out.
Love it.
Like, oh, he was gold. He'd have some great stuff. Stories.
Yeah. He's like, brilliant banter as well. And I listened to him on Talks, but was it Talk Sport he's been on?
Yeah, he got a bit of everything, yeah, isn't he?
Oh, he's absolute class to listen to, isn't he?
He's brilliant. Yeah, he's just passionate. Tells stories all the time. Wolves. I think Wolves, he's probably better lower league sort of manager where he can control a lot of things. When you get to like a Wolves or something like that, then there's a lot of more moving parts.
You've got directors of football, technical directors, haven't you?
I think he just wanted to be on the grass and just have fun with the lads, but improve them, and he's brilliant in that. But he used to join in training all the time.
Yeah.
We do shooting drills, and I always remember we're doing this one where we're stood on the edge of the box. You've got someone from behind the goal clipping it to you, and you've got to hit a volley first time from like in the D. Must be about five or six of us there. Balls are coming in. Not one of us is hitting the target. It's going all over the place. It's going left. It's going right over the bar. And Dino's pulling his air out. He comes across, goes, lads, this is how you do it. And no word of a lie. First one comes in, arrows it into the top corner.
It's annoying when that happens. Yeah, please miss.
Wanted
please
to shank
miss.
It so and much. It,
the lads are looking at him. We have another go. Still going everywhere. He steps back and goes, lads, just watch it. Listen when I hit it. it makes a different noise. Yes. It comes in, he arrows it again. His finishing was so good.
Yeah. Just trying to stitch him up in that. Like, just five a short one in from or something.
Nothing better. But Just do what I do.
we always had a five aside on a Friday before a game, and the losing team would obviously have to do some sort of forfeit, but on the coach to the away game. So we've done the five aside, showered, food, on the coach the away game. Dino get the mic at the front of the bus and he start giving team like players ratings for the 5-0. Dave Edwards, 2. Didn't see him.
Brilliant. Move on.
Mic at the front of the coach was quality, wasn't it?
And he'd always give the man of the match, he'd leave it to the end and he'd give him a prize and he'd have it on the bus with him. And the one day, Kevin Foley got man of the match. Kevin Foley, 9, brilliant, did everything. He's won him set, picked up a bag of golf clubs. Bring it down the bus. The next week, he'll be a DVD player.
Oh, love that.
Be having a record. Yeah,
great effort.
But yeah, he was.
We used to do that. We used to do awards, but just made up awards. I probably shouldn't say on here. But so, like after games and that, when you've done well, a few beers, you get to the front of the coach. That mic at the front of the coach was brilliant, wasn't it? And you do. I always remember Louis Malt. So he, where's Louis? He's Burton Albion now. He's at Preston. Yeah, unbelievable lad. Used to be my travel partner. And pleased to say now his teeth are amazing. But back then, I always used to say that his teeth were pissed. And most likely to be arrested for drink driving when it's your teeth that are pissed. And obviously he comes up to the front and all that. Constantly like getting stuck into lads about their uncles and that.
We used to do Secret Santa. You used to do Secret Santa with any of the clubs. We did it at Northampton. They're like ruthless as well. I remember like we had this like lad was carrying a bit of weight. They would just come out and there'd be this, have a big lump wrapped up with one big lump of lard, just saying breakfast, another big lump of lard, dinner, another big lump of lard, tea. It'd be like if you sat there for the rest of the day out with these like three big tubs
three blocks of lard.
It'd be like you couldn't if you had any sort of like if you were body conscious or anything or you worried about your body image, it was the worst place to be. See now, when I was at Auto, I was meant to mention Sean Dyche as well because I had him at Northampton, who is a manager now. He knew he was going to be a manager, and he was captain at the time, so he wasn't the manager, but he was a real leader then. So he's someone else to work with. Quite an impressive array of managers there, haven't
definitely.
We? Feel like
stories as well. You could have gone on for another couple of hours talking about
like
stories.
Yeah. I feel like my selection of managers probably didn't really warrant my ability that really. I think looking at that, someone reads out that manager's Keegan Reid, Ratcliffe, Quinn Peters, Little, Clough, Gray, Saunders, Gorman. I think he's played at the top.
I've got down here. I haven't mentioned Robin Larry, who was with Telford. I had a brilliant.
I bet you'd have the best stories
mate,
about him.
Honestly, we could do. I could do a whole podcast on them too.
I don't want to do a disservice, but pub managers.
Well, listen. The one thing that they a massive, massive thing they had was recruitment. So they like I tell you one thing about Robin Larry. Between them, they knew every single player. They knew his middle name, his inside leg measurement, where he played previously, where he lived, his family. Whether he had kids, they were ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. But when you talk about tactically, but again, if they were sat around this table now, they'd go, well, yeah, you know, we knew what it took to win games.
Yeah,
and you'd go,
honestly,
okay, well, let's talk about formations, let's talk about impact players. They'd go, well, we know what it takes. And they would rely heavily on recruitment. So when we get
the best players and we win the game.
Well, we had probably the most successful season that AFC Telford had when I played there, and it was under them. And there was an element of their motivational talks would, they would get you going to the point where they want you to dislike them. They want you to come for them a little bit. And it was almost like a bit of reverse psychology. And Rob didn't care. Rob literally doesn't care about anything.
That's
like that.
It's a powerful technique, isn't it? I'm going to show the gaffer out. Yeah. I'm going to show him how good
I am. We'd get a rollicking before games. And we used to call Larry the kettle because he'd start off, because he's like high voice, and he'd start off going, I'm not going to say too much, lads, but at the end of the day, and he'd just go off. And like
the kettle.
But he'd always say, I'm not going to say too much, but be there for 10 minutes. And then Rob would be like, you last week, and you, Cowan, you couldn't win header. You know, and you'd get kind of like,
I'm kicking off in 15 minutes.
I'll flipping show you then. We'll see who can't win a header. So then for the first 15 minutes, you'd win every single header and be like looking over at the dugout going, Gaffer, fancy that then. But when you talk about like team nights out, I mean, we've got some unbelievable stories and just even antics. Like, you know, nights before, if you were suspended, then if you got suspended, you'd think, oh, I'm suspended. And then you think, oh, brilliant, we're away at...
we're away spot.
At, yeah, we're away at wherever, like flipping, I don't know, York. We're away at York. Oh my God, I'm suspended for that game. Brilliant. And you'd be out with them too. So you'd be out on a night out the night before and a chairman.
Out with a guy.
Oh, it'd be brilliant. And like you'd obviously, chairman. Ordinarily, if you're suspended, you're in the doghouse, aren't you? And you have to get your head down and that. And it'd be like, got your gear with you? Be like, yep. And like, brilliant, let's go. So you'd initially...
Just in case, I've always got a shirt with me just in case.
An unbelievable night out. We went, I think we went to Workington. And me, Lee Moore and Lee Vaughan were all suspended, which is literally like the worst three that you could have. And even Rob, and Rob was hardcore, you know what I mean? He's like, anything goes. I mean, when you talk about, he'd be like, smash his face in. And you'd be like, oh, I can't really do that, Gaffer, you know, on a pitch. And we'd be like, right, let's destroy the changing rooms then. Like, you know, he ruthless in that way. And even he was going, look, let's just make sure we have an all right night tonight. It's needless to say, I won't go into all the detail, but it's needless to say.
He was right to be worried.
It's needless to say, I had Lee Vaughan over my shoulder. Lee Moore was 20 yards ahead of me running. Luckily, the bouncers helped us out that night. And yeah, Lee Moore got started on the dance floor, and then Vaughan came over.
Self-inflicted.
He got some pepper and put it in his hand and blew it in someone's face. And like, just thinking it was hilarious, which obviously, if you're on the receiving end, you're not. Yeah. And then I'm at the bar having a drink, thinking everything's brilliant. And right, we better make our way back to the hotel. Just absolute carnage and all these ridiculous. But Rob and Larry like were like, what happened last night then? You know, and you'd be thinking, is this a test? Or, and they'd be like going, brilliant, brilliant, love that. Right now,
it's lads,
the game.
It's lads, because you enjoy the lads looking after. I think there's a lot to be said for that. I think especially lower down the league that, I mean, well, you just definitely screw with this, Gav, but I'm sure a lot of tactics are really important. But if you can get that team spirit and that bond and get the right lads in, massive, I think.
Well, what I would say in response to that is, I think like there's always got to be a bit of balance, hasn't there? And I suppose like if you're at the top level, you're very heavily reliant on game strategies, tactics.
You've got a lot of time with the players to implement this, and you've got top professionals whose job it is to take that
on. And it's
board.
A minimum requirement to trust each other. It's a minimum requirement to know each other. And you're spending a lot of time in hotels, so there's no need, really, because you're now on a sort of a level playing field, and you're having a coffee at breakfast together. So there's not really this onus on massively going out and having a night out. Whereas I think, although you don't exclude game strategies, as you do go lower, naturally, you haven't got enough time. The expertise isn't there, probably. Even if you have got the expertise, which, you know, you like to think that you've got, you're working with players that some can't take it on board, some can take it on board but can't implement it. So you have got a much more of a challenge there. So what do you do? Like you say there, you basically find a way of working that's going to suit the players. So for me at Telford in the first year, I was very much about detail. But with the detail came winning, and with the winning came lads staying after and having a drink and having a few nights out and stuff like that. And then as obviously then they start to get a little bit bored of that monotony of like going, right, it's the same details, it's the consistency, it's the professionalism. That starts to wear them down, only because of their mentality, not because it's the wrong thing to do or the right thing to do, but ultimately you're trying to drive professionalism and obviously your standards are through the roof. I won't settle for a minute. And the players are a little bit like, you know, wouldn't mind us just having a bit of fun. And it's
especially,
like...
Especially if it's their second job, though, isn't it?
Which absolutely, gets. Yeah.
I think that's the key, isn't it?
Well, we'd play on a Tuesday, and then I'd get to the Thursday, but I'd have to do preparation. We'd have to do analysis.
Of course, yeah.
I'd have to do my prep work. So I used to say to him, look, give me half an hour. Give me half an hour and the rest of the session's yours. So I'd do 15, 20 minutes of analysis in the lecture theatre at Lillishall, and then we'd do a warm-up, extended warm-up. Then we'd do my detail, and then I'd let them go for 45, 50 minutes and just go, enjoy yourselves, look after each other. I think I got the sense that even the analysis, even the build-up of the warm-up, the extended warm-up, going into the detail, they just wanted to turn up, have a bit of a kickabout and go home. But obviously my job is to go, look, lads, I need to be able to send you out on a match day fully knowing that I've given you all of the tools to be able to go out and do it. And that's the problem with that level. And like you say, the higher you go up, it's a non-negotiable, innit? Look, you are, this is your absolute everything, your livelihood, your career, you know, you're getting paid fortunes. This is what you've got to do. So yeah, it's a tough one to get right.
But that's gone a while, hasn't it?
Are we going to have a beard in or what? Is it not the, in the this Christmas do now? Flipping heck.
Are we picking our favourite managers? I came up with them categories at the start.
Oh, that's tough, Sam.
Who is your best man manager that you've had? Dave, you start us off.
It's between Chris Coleman and Paul Lambert for me. Paul Lambert probably got the best out of me personally. Like, he made me feel like I was properly meant to be at Wolves and a leader and part of the group and scoring goals, that sort of stuff. But then Chris Coleman for what he did for Wales. I'd say Cookie. Like, I gave that story about after the Slovakia game where he made me think that he was making the right decision by dropping me.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I respected him so much. I'll go Chris Coleman.
For me, it's in terms of man management, I'd say it's between Brian Little and Kev Wilkin. Two men that you do not want to let down, not because they're shouting, screaming in your face or they're bribing you or making you feel fearful, just because they're brilliant human beings who you respect their work. They give you a little bit of leeway when you need it. But Kev Wilkin could collectively give you a rollicking as well. You know, he wasn't a timid guy. You know, I always remember, you'll remember Leon Hibbert. Do you remember Leon Hibbert when we were at Gainsborough? And he's like, you know, massive lad. Thought far too much of himself, I thought, and was injured and suspended. And he used to run out and he'd have...
But if you're listening, Leon, you're welcome to come on the show.
I might be ill that week. But he was like a massive lad and he used to cover himself in oil and he used to run out. And he was like a film star when he used to run out onto the pitch at Gainsborough. Do you know what I mean?
That used to love playing against him, though, didn't you? I'd be
he used to wind me up because he looked unbelievable. Like, if he was in a film, you know, he could be in a Batman film. He was unreal. But but he used to wind me up because he was terrible. Couldn't pass the water.
Yeah.
And cut this one.
But one thing I would say is, like, the reason Gainsborough signed him on good money, big money, is because what he was good at was being a midfielder who got stuck in and went about his business. His mistake was he came to Gainsborough, started thinking he could play, and he couldn't play for Toffee. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But if you were into a midfield battle, good luck trying to beat him. So I was almost like, do what you're good at. Why are you trying to pass the ball? Why are you trying to be Glenn Hoddle when really, let's be honest, you're Paul Ince, you know? And that's not to speak bad of Paul Ince, because he could play as well. But you know what I mean? You're Vinnie Jones, let's say. Yeah. You're Vinnie Jones. So I always remember him coming in. We'd come in and it was half time. They'd scored and I was adamant it was offside. Absolutely adamant, losing my head. And obviously, I'm going, yeah, flipping referee. And obviously, you're protecting yourself a little bit.
Yeah, and it's deflection everywhere.
Yeah, it was your fault. The bloody linesman's not up with play and all of this. And it all went quiet. And I just heard this voice go, it was onside. And I was like, who said that? And he's suspended, not injured. He was injured, not even involved. Had been a massive letdown, not really in with the lads. And he was like, yeah, it was onside. I was in line with it. I was like, oh, you've got something to say now, have you?
All right, line up.
Oh, yeah, okay, flipping it.
I wish you were linesman instead of our centre mid.
That's the most you've contributed all year, mate. So obviously, Leon's a big lad, and I'm now walking towards him, and it's all like, everybody's flying in. Yeah, it's all gone off in a changing room and flipping. I'm going, oh, you want to contribute now? I haven't seen you for 3 months. Flipping, what's your name again?
Got real personal. And,
yeah, real personal.
Kept it calm then, didn't you? Yeah. That's good. You've got to get the control.
And then sat down, and as we've sat down, obviously waiting for the team talk to sort of continue, Brian's not there. Brian Little just walked out. Whilst it was all going on, Brian's just gone off on the side door.
I don't need this. I've got time to leave. I'm not handling these doughnuts.
Walked out, not for anything. He was in disgust. And then obviously we went, I think we drew the game, and then we got in the car after, and he just didn't talk to me all the way home. I remember you were whacking me with your knee, going, you're in the good books then? And I just sat there, and he was just like, as I went to leave, I went, Gaffer, I just want to say about tonight. He said, I just want to say I'm really disappointed.
That's the worst. I remember when you got sent off as well. Gav got sent off having a fight with his other centre half. And then so we got in the
car. That was
Luke.
Yeah, Luke.
What's he called? Luke
Igor,
Waterfall.
Yeah, Luke Waterfall. Luke,
Brilliant lad.
Great lad. So anyway, because the way he looks, he's obviously got a flat face, isn't he? And so I used to call him Igor. So and he used to have England tattooed on his back at the top of his shot. So we used to go, I am England. I am from Croatia. Like that. And
so the lads scored or something, haven't they? And so Gavin Lucas, like, argue him. And they just kept it going, like, it's on the pitch. And everyone's like, all right, shut up, you two. Kept it going. In the end, they've, like, squared up each other, grabbing each other. And I think You booked, the ref booked both, he didn't, but you'd already been booked, so you got sent off. Did we? I think did we draw or we lost?
We drew, I think. And then 2-2.
We got in the car at the end of the game, and I was like, Gav, this is going to be a long drive back after me. Gav got in the back, and Brian, let go on you. And you just got in the car, and Brian looked at, don't just sit there and say nothing the whole time.
Yeah,
Gav.
Yeah.
And I was like, I bet you won't say anything.
He just looked at me in the rearview mirror, square in the eyes, and went, don't just sit back there and not say anything. Like, you know, in other words, don't sulk. Yeah, no sulking. You haven't got the right to sulk. Yeah. It's me that should be sulking, not you.
Yeah.
But on that one with Liam Hibbert, I went, Gaffer, I just want to say, and he just interrupted me and went, I just want to say, I'm so disappointed.
Oh,
my heart, mate. Honestly, listen, I ain't cried since I was 8 years old and fell into a bunch of stingy nettles, but I was like choking up, going, oh my God. In the car on the way home, just thinking, oh no, I've let the gaffer down. And like, because he didn't expect anything of Leon, you know, he expected it all of me. And like with the Luke Waterfall one, who is a brilliant lad, by the way, he was class. That was only a moment in time. Brilliant, brilliant lad. Even with that one, the big build up was me coming back because I broke my ankle, do you remember? And it was me coming back from injury. So it was like, you'll be all right. And I knew I wasn't quite right, you know. And it was like, we've got Boston and they're our local rivals on New Year's Day, and you can come back, get the armband on, you'll be all right. And I was like, I was so pumped up for the game, like so ready. And Jason Lee, I'd played against him when I was at Shrewsbury, he snapped my cheekbone. Yeah. So even more so, I was like, brilliant. Like, I have a right, I'll battle with him today. Hopefully I can, you know, return the favour or whatever. And just was right up for it. I think 2 minutes into it, Jason Lee had put me on my backside for a set piece. I was thinking, oh, it's not started well. And then next thing I know, me and Luke Waterfall are having an argument. I'm walking down a tunnel going, brilliant.
That escalated quickly.
Could have gone better.
To be honest, I think I needed another 2 weeks to get back fit.
It was first half as well, wasn't it?
About 20 minutes, yeah.
Oh, never mind. Also, what would you do? My management?
Yeah.
My would be Brian Little and John Gorman.
Class.
John Gorman, I mean, Brian Little, say about you would never want to let him down. And never. I mean, I did with Brian Little a few times where I didn't play well or things went wrong. But he signed me 3 times and he always looked after me, but John Gorman was class. I remember him, like, he'd come round and he'd start stroking the back of my hair and going, how good were you against Crew? Like, just make you feel he'd put a mask on my shoulders and go, they couldn't handle you Saturday. He's just like, you know, he'd make you, even though at the time, what I was
did you just lean into it and go, oh yeah, just there, yeah. Go on.
I was like, it still made you feel great. And I was thinking, class he is. And when I got injured, I broke my ankle, he was ringing me all the time. In the end, I was like, all right, gaffer. But he's just like, class the way he conducted himself. Yeah. Them two for me, my managers. Tactical knowledge?
For me, Marcus Bignett, tactically. Frightening. Yeah. Absolute frightening. When you talk about, he was the first one who got me seeing numbers on a pitch. So it's numbers and almost like grids, to the point where you have to memorise it so much that it's a bit Rain Man type stuff. You know, it's really, really good. Really, really enjoyed working with him. Would have enjoyed being part of what he does more. But because he's so attention to detail and because he's so focused on it. Again, this was 5-6 years ago, so he might, you know, might have improved that side of it and probably would say it so himself. But from a tactical perspective, he frightening, really. In all three phases of the pitch, understanding in and out of possession, understanding numbers all over the pitch, overloads, game strategies. No one gets close to him. Anyone I've worked with. No one gets close to him.
I play with Steve Leslie at the moment and he was with him at Solihull.
Yeah, yeah.
He says he's incredible. So his training session, his detail, everything was
the chauffeur, Steve Leslie. Chauffeur.
You don't get that.
Lesbo went out to Australia. Lesbo, by the way, I mean, you play with him now, Dave, don't you?
Yeah.
And when we talk about talent, this guy's like off the scale.
Shrewsby, wasn't
yeah. And he just frustrates me. So
he knows it though as well.
Yeah, me and Steve are, yeah.
still recording,
yeah,
by the way.
Listen, we're very close and he obviously works with me at Crossbar as well, at Cap. And he's, brilliant. We're great relationship. But I just can't, when we talk about football, I can't talk to him just because I feel like he should have just been playing at such a high level, like so talented. And he got back from Australia and someone went, oh yeah, Lesbo's back from Australia. I was like, all right. So I've called him, went, all right, what are you up to? I'm just at home. I went, all right, what are you doing work-wise? Nothing. All right, who are you playing for? No one.
Just chilling.
Right, how long have you been back? 6 weeks. Right. What? And he literally said to me, I'm just waiting for the phone to ring. I was like, it don't work like that, Lesbo. Yeah. Like, this is his problem, like, he's like the lack of proactivity. So I was like, right, get yourself up to the office. So come up to the office, working. I said, I spoke to Marcus. I said, look, got this lad, you're going to have to see him. Like, why he's sitting on his backside? Look, it's the answer to all your prayers on that left-hand side. If Connor Franklin, you know, so he got him in, and in training, the lads were just like, who is this kid? Like, he is ridiculous. And he'd do things in training. The agreement was, because he wasn't getting paid a massive amount initially from Solihull, that we'd drive my van and he'd drive it. I'd obviously pay the petrol there and back, so he'd drive the van, so I used to call him the chauffeur. So yeah, obviously he didn't like that, but I loved it. So, but he was just unbelievable at Solihull. Like, came in, he played sort of everyone. There was a big squad there, so everyone played, you know, in and out. And talent wise, just a joke, Lesbo, isn't he? You're getting it now, aren't you, with him at Bala?
Yeah, no, he's class, Lesbo.
Go on, Div. Tactically,
I probably don't need to go on about this, but Yapstam, I've probably spoken off about him tactically, but he's a genius. Wow. If he was managing like a top Premier League team, there'd be like what Pep's teams are like.
Really?
Yeah, you reckon?
He's that, wow.
He's good as
massive statement players.
I think he's out in America. Obviously, it's Cincinnati, I think, last time. He went back to Feyenoord, I think it was, for a little bit. Didn't quite work out, and he's gone over to America. But yeah,
love that.
His knowledge is outrageous.
Sam, tactical?
I don't know, to be honest.
Did you ever play in a team that had tactics? Did you ever play in a team that had get the ball to Sam? Just run down the wing?
I don't know.
Dean saw the same play into the front man. And
I'll just look at the right back when I'm see if I can run over him when the ball comes to me. Yeah, I don't know. Dean Saunders in some ways, but I wouldn't say he was massively tactical. Would you, Dave?
No, he had a way he wants to play, doesn't he?
Yeah, he had a way he wants to play, which I suppose he's someone who forced that way of playing on you a bit. I'd probably say maybe him. Difficult one to answer that. I don't think I've played with many managers who I would say really
tactical prowess,
which I liked, because I know we think differently, but I think sometimes people go get a bit carried away,
overcomplicate it,
and go massively.
Yeah, and it is, and that's what I was just about to say. There's definitely a place for managers that actually go, look, we're not going to focus too much on this. I trust you to go out and carry out not so much the tactics, but like you say with Dean Saunders, a game strategy.
Yeah.
This is how we want to play. Trust you to go and do it.
I think it's probably different my position as well, though, compared to you when you're playing in centre mid and you expect it to play different ways. Like, obviously, if I was playing on the left wing or right wing and you picked me in the team, what are you going to expect from me apart from just to get the ball and run at the fullback? Like, that's quite simple, isn't it? You're not really going to ask me to do anything else. And if you are, it's not really going to happen for you.
I think it's the era you played in. If you played now, they'd be asking you to do all sorts.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be rolling inside, letting the fullback go outside.
I wouldn't be passing to that.
Rolling where?
No fullback used to overlap me. Any fullback overlap me. Well, you're wasting your time, mate. I'm not passing to you. Just leave me. I used to hate it when I forget the ball on the left wing and the centre forward would run across, like, in front of
into your space.
Like, run to the right back. I'd be like, what? Get out of the way. What are you doing? Get back in the middle of the pitch. That's my space.
Yeah,
probably there's a lot to do with the era.
Is there any other characteristics of a manager that we want to... Because I always think
we've got different leadership styles, but I mean, I
always think there's man manager, collective manager, recruitment, tactical.
I think recruitment now is all done, but is it done a bit differently now? Recruitment.
Well, it's what we were saying earlier. Like, again, going back to Rob Edwards.
Team.
If you're Rob Edwards, he's got a brilliant director of football, Richard Hughes, who they've got a brilliant relationship with. I think that can be a problem in some clubs if you don't get that relationship right. If you've got a technical director, sporting director,
definitely
director of football, that can be a problem. But they've got it perfect.
I think the only other thing would be the most inspirational.
I think that's the one, like the X factor. Who's the inspirational one? You know, the one who sometimes you go, that was good. I remember like Gary Peters again, a couple of speeches in like before games. Yeah. You'd come in, he'd go, who in here has got the bollocks to play today? Yeah. I remember I'd be going,
I love it.
I remember banging on the door and Tino was like, just calm down, Sam. You're going to get sent off in the first 5 minutes. Yeah.
That sometimes comes from the changing room as well, though, doesn't it? Like when I've played in teams like at Canvey and at Nuneaton and at Telford, we've had players in the changing room that would be like, you know, that for managers. Like Kev Wilkin would get you up for it.
Yeah.
But then you'd have players in there who'd be like, right, this is us today. Like flipping, let's stand next to him in the tunnel. Like flipping, measure up against them. Go and get involved. Love I used to love that. All that. Yeah, I used to love it.
Mine would be Chris Coleman again. Like I mentioned him a lot, but what he did in that sort of Wales set was incredible. So he'd have kind of, when you talk about motivational talks, he'd have almost two. So he'd have one before we leave the hotel. So we'd do a little bit of final analysis and then he'd put like maybe a 60-second video on. And it'll be of like some Welsh music behind.
Oh, yeah. And see, that's a bit of me.
And then he'd have Joe Allen just smashing someone in midfield. He'd get every single player showing them doing something for Wales. Brilliant. You know what I mean? Just to think, bam, if you scored a goal, one ahead or whatever.
Yeah.
So that kind of initially get you going. But then in the change rooms for a game, he was honestly unbelievable. He would speak quite calmly and quietly, but you think, I'd run through that wall for you now.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I mean, that's it. If you can get that mentality, run through a wall for you.
Honestly, brilliant. And everyone was saying, there's not one player in that squad who would say they had a dislike to him. Everyone was desperate to play for him. He had this saying, always say, you need fire in your belly, but ice in your veins. So he's saying,
yes,
get up for it, but you just need to, in those moments, be be composed. But yeah,
I'm right up for this in the stiffs Christmas do now.
Yeah, I am. Run through the brick wall and dunk out. Right, well done everybody. That's an hour and 50 minutes. It might have split that into two, might we?
Yeah, or a lot of editing for Wits today.
Yeah. Split it in for two.
So that could be episode 3 and 4 done then.
Yeah, I reckon.
Well, episode 1's just gone out today. Get a bit of feedback on that.
Had some good feedback already.
Off my mum.
Dear's mum's been really complimentary about it, so that's one person anyway. Yeah, she listens every week, won't she, dear?
I've asked a couple of journo people as well to be critical if they can, like people who listen to it all and that, so I'm waiting for them to come back. Nothing bad yet, but I'm sure there'll be a few bits.
Yeah. Well done, everyone, lads. So go and have a...
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Well, this is going to come out.
This is coming out middle of February.
Happy Easter.
Well done, everybody.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Yeah. Oh, I need to sign off. We're available on... Can someone help me with that? In the Stiffs on Twitter, at In the Stiffs.
Very good. Facebook, Spotify.
In the Stiffs.
Are we on iTunes yet, Wits?
We're on Apple now, aren't we? I saw that.
Big hitters.
Any more talk?
Email address for any questions?
Email address is...
InTheStiffs@gmail.com.
That's it. Thanks very much for listening, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Cheers.
Bye.